From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. As state officials consider whether to sign on to the Affordable Care Act's expansion of Medicaid, we'll take a closer look at how expanding health coverage for the poor would impact Florida. A recent analysis from Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute finds going ahead with the expansion could be a win-win for the state.
Our study found that the state can actually save money while ensuring that in the neighborhood of a million Floridians can get the health coverage they desperately need.
And when it comes to providing health coverage to kids, Florida is making strides but still ranks near the bottom nationally. We'll take a look at Florida's progress. Plus, Southwest Florida Addiction Services and Lee Mental Health recently announced they're joining forces. Find out how the merger could impact access to mental health treatment. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. In late November, leadership with two of Southwest Florida's major mental health providers announced plans for a possible merger. Lee Mental Health Center and Southwest Florida Addiction Services, known as SWAFIS, serve a combined patient load of about 17,000 people a year, and a deal to streamline services between the two looks to be on the immediate horizon. Joining me now for a closer look at what's behind the merger plan and how it could impact quality of mental health treatment locally is Southwest Florida Addiction Services CEO Kevin Lewis. Thanks for joining us again, Kevin.
Glad to be here, John. Thanks.
And also on the phone is Lee Mental Health Center CEO David Winters. Thanks for your time as well this morning.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And I invite our listeners to join the conversation. Our number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Post your comments and questions to our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And before we get into the specifics about the merger, David Winters, can you first tell us a bit about Lee Mental Health Center and its role in the region's mental health treatment community? How would you characterize the scope of treatment and services provided by Lee Mental Health?
Well, we provide a broad scope of treatments. Our focus is obviously on deep-end care because that's where the state funds the services that we provide. We have psychiatrists available on a daily basis. Appointments can be made by calling in. 275-3222 is our access number. We do assessments on a daily basis, either by appointment or walk-in at our Vista campus. We have case management services to help people tap into resources in the community. And we also offer outpatient therapy services.
And does the Vista campus remain the Baker Act receiving facility here in Lee County?
The Vista campus is our public receiving facility. We also have a private receiving facility in Lee County, and that would be the Park Royal Hospital.
Okay, because I remember reading something on the website and going, I think there's another one, but it's still part of Lee Mental Health. So, yes. And Kevin Lewis, same question. Tell us about SWAFIS' scope of services. How many patients seek help through SWAFIS?
John, we treat somewhere around 5,000 individuals a year, individuals and families, with a primary disorder of addictions. That at that level, we treat both adolescents and adults, and we have a full range of services, including the adult detoxification unit that serves this community, residential treatment, day treatment, intensive outpatient treatment, and outpatient treatment. We also operate a similar range of services for adolescents, although with adolescents, the only detoxification setting is actually operated by Lee Mental Health right now, the Juvenile Addiction Receiving Facility.
Okay. Is demand for mental health services growing in Southwest Florida now?
Well, I think when you look at demand, I think there's no question that demand typically outstrips publicly supported capacity.
Mm-hmm.
The predominant funding that helps provide mental health services comes from two sources, one being Medicaid funding, and so that's a very small or a smaller categorical population, and then the state does provide some general revenue funding. One of the challenges of operating these services in Florida is that Florida right now is 50th amongst the states in their per capita support for mental health services for adults.
And this disparity between the need for mental health services and the available capacity locally, will this merger do anything to address that issue?
Well, I think we anticipate that we'll offer us a couple of opportunities that should make things more efficient. Today, if a person presents to either one of our systems of care, And in their presentation, it's evident they would benefit from receiving services from the other system. We then had to send them to a second door for a second evaluation. One of the early payoffs we anticipate by combining these companies is a singular evaluation will accomplish that, and we'll be able to move people much more efficiently to the level of care and to the type of care they need, and not duplicate both the administrivia as well as the cost of that second evaluation.
Okay, so this is really going to help streamline services for patients. Okay.
Right.
Well, we're talking with Southwest Florida Addiction Services CEO Kevin Lewis and Lee Mental Health Center CEO David Winters about merger plans between the two nonprofit mental health service providers. Give us a call and join the conversation with your comments or questions. The number is 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or post your comments on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And I wanted to ask what prompted the two of you to really begin considering a possible merger.
David actually initiated some of the conversations. And over the years, we would look at some of the common issues both systems faced.
Mm-hmm.
And approximately 2 years ago, we decided to share a high-level professional position, a chief information officer between our two systems. And that was really kind of the beginning of actually taking it from conversation to action at that time. And then last October, we both broached the topic with our boards of directors, and frankly, they have taken it from there.
Okay, and you know, feel free to jump in here as well, David. But there is going to be a cost saving element to this as well. But that's not really what it's about, I understand.
Yeah, David.
Go ahead. The other piece to this is that we're both treating individuals on a co-occurring basis. So what I found is that I was having to create services that were already available at SWAPIS in order to assure that people would be treated in a co-occurring fashion. I see huge opportunities in us merging our campuses and services at each of our campuses in order to be able to provide that in a seamless fashion. That's probably one of the key elements that I was looking at in terms of where are we going and how can we provide the best quality of care in Lee County with the limited resources that we have available.
So just as an example, you know, we know that when it comes to treating addiction, if someone is dealing with some additional unaddressed mental health issue, it can really exacerbate substance abuse issues if the other mental health issue is not addressed. Will this merger give those dual diagnosis clients, as we had said, a more streamlined way of getting that additional help and not having to duplicate services?
John, I think as you look at that, there's no question that we have programming right now that targets people with addictive disorders,
mm-hmm.
where we do not have psychiatric capacity. We have some programs we do, some we don't. And for those individuals that are in programs without that capacity, it does mean either going to talk to their primary care physician or having to get back in line and get another assessment in another environment. For those individuals, we see a dramatic potential for improvement. And the second piece is that as we then bring up a common electronic health record, the ability to share information and collaborate amongst treating professionals within that system will just advance dramatically, and the coordination of care should be very helpful to us. And then probably the third piece, and the piece that we've not spoken a great deal about, is to then have that system be better integrated, better coordinated with our primary health care systems here in the community, Family Health and Lee Memorial. Because that's where I think then that the real potential gains are at that juncture, because we know individuals that have severe and persistent mental illness and addictions oftentimes don't fare well in health environments.
So really kind of completing the circuit and making a more complete network, I guess, of not just mental health services, but health services overall, as you were saying, their primary care physicians as well.
Yeah, that's the vision.
Okay. And do you project that the cost savings, David Summers, will be significant? Or, again, that's not really what this is about, and any kind of cost savings you get is going to be gravy?
Yeah. Well, actually, any cost savings we get will be turned into better care, more services, assurance of future services available to our community.
We're talking with David Winters and Kevin Lewis. They are the CEOs of Lee Mental Health Center and Southwest Florida Addiction Services, respectively. The two nonprofits are looking at a merger to streamline mental health services locally. Join our conversation with your comments and questions. Again, the number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and post your comments there. And what kind of a timeline are we on now? I hear we could have something concrete in, as soon as January.
We are, yeah, we're working right now. There's been a committee appointed and working for over a year with four board members from each company reporting back to their respective boards. And we are now in kind of the due diligence stage where there's now an attorney engaged looking at some of the issues. The dotting the I's and crossing the T's will take some time. And so we hope to actually be able to have a final decision after the first of the year, and it may take us until actually June 30th to be able to implement it and dot all the I's and cross all the T's.
Okay, so sometime next summer might all be completed here. Well, let's take a phone call right now from Mary Lou in Punta Gorda. Mary Lou, you're on Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask about my son. He was diagnosed bipolar 16 years ago, and he has been through the Vince Smith program and the Swafis program and the Ruth Cooper program. But then at some point he started to self-medicate, as bipolars typically do. And right now he's in jail, and he is on Strattera and lithium that I provide for him in jail. And he's getting out in January. And I'm looking to see what kind of services and how easy it's going to be transitioning him back into Ruth Cooper or Swafis for medication, too.
Well, again, go ahead, David.
Go ahead, Kev.
Okay. Part of it, obviously, Mary Lou, is whether or not his primary residence is in Charlotte County or Lee County, because much of our public funding is categorical aimed at communities. Is he a Lee County resident?
He's actually in Lee County.
Okay, good. And yeah, so he'll be an individual who could present for care at either of our systems. And if it's medication, he would be directed to present for care over at the Lee Mental Health campus, where, as David indicated, they have walk-in availability on a daily basis. That coordination of care, then, if he requires other services in addition to that, would be then at the point of his assessment at that service level, they will then coordinate whether it be with Lee Mental Health or our organization.
Okay, and when you say the place in Lee County, are you talking Ruth Cooper?
David, the walk-ins are at your Ortiz campus, correct?
Well, we have two campuses for walk-ins. If it sounds like he's already been assessed by us and is currently a patient that we've taken care of. So if we've already provided services, it's pretty easy for him to tap back into care, essentially by calling the 275-3222 and asking for a new appointment with a psychiatrist. I think that would probably be his best first step upon release. We also have forensic services, so if he asks to be tapped into forensic care, we can start case management services before his release, and that will also facilitate him getting in a streamlined basis back into care with Lee Mental Health. And that would be at the Ruth.
And he would do that through his doctor or through the nurse at jail?
Through the nurse at jail. If he's working through mental health court, that court will help streamline the process. If he's going through substance abuse court, that would be working with Kevin's system currently.
Yeah. No, he didn't go through any one of those systems, but it's been great when he's in there because he's been talking to a psychiatrist and getting his medication and also staying alcohol-free. So he's in a positive place right now to be able to receive treatment.
And Mary Lou, what you're talking about is a very common, you know, unfortunately, a very common occurrence. There are probably more people today in our jails that need care than in our treatment systems. And that's one of the goals we have, is to better integrate those systems, because we recognize that, frankly, effective care will keep people out of jail.
That is a totally brilliant statement, because that is so true. That is so true.
Mary Lou, thank you so much for the call.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Well, I think Mary Lou's call, you know, really kind of highlights how perhaps complicated this network can be. When this merger is said and done, will Lee Mental Health Center and Swafis maintain any level of autonomy from one another, or are you going to create a whole new organization with a whole new name?
Yeah, the goal is to have a fully integrated organization, and we will probably select a new name. The boards are working on that as we speak.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do we know much about what the organizational structure will look like? Will there, I guess since you're both CEOs of two separate nonprofits now, is there going to be a role for both of you in this new organization?
At the present time, yeah, both of us have committed to our boards to stay involved in the project as we initiated the conversation with them, and I believe the boards are working with us to determine those roles.
And you know, this really does kind of seem to bring things full circle. SWAFIS and Lee Mental Health Center already have something of a shared history.
Well, and that's kind of the humorous part of that is that from approximately 1972 to 1980, these two systems were integrated, and they broke apart in 1980. Both boards are very proud of the accomplishments of the organizations and have been fierce advocates. And it's been a very good experience to help both boards work toward how do we integrate these systems to improve patient care.
Okay. And, you know, in the first segment of today's show, the conversation was really focused on whether Florida should voluntarily expand Medicaid services under the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, the verdict is still out on that. But the health care exchange will be established one way or another, expanding the number of people with health coverage. Is the Affordable Care Act's expansion of just the number of people with health coverage in any way a motivator behind this merger, or is this something that you have been watching?
It was something I think David can speak to this because right now they do much more Medicaid work than we do, but it was certainly something on our radar screen.
Sure. David, I was hoping you could talk a bit about that, anticipated changes under the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, what we see is that there is a potential future where 40% of our funding that currently comes from the Department of Children and Families at Lee Mental Health will now be coming through Medicaid. And that'll create a huge shift in terms of what services we can provide. Because Medicaid currently doesn't pay for any residential care. There are limitations on some of the other services that can be provided to a Medicaid-eligible and requirements in terms of a psychiatrist writing out a treatment plan based on providing that care. So we're seeing a future where our whole business model will be tickled a little bit in terms of how we provide care, how we identify the appropriate level of care for people.
Is the Affordable Care Act in any way part of the impetus behind this merger, or is this just a good idea regardless?
We think it's a good idea.
But
it was certainly one of the background variables that we saw, one of the moving pieces we saw in our system that we felt we would be better prepared to serve our community in a combined fashion.
And David, I was hoping that you could talk a bit about this environment that we're in now where you know, grants are declining, government reimbursements aren't where they had been in the past, funding's not where it's always been, because I know that's a big part of why it's good to consolidate services also.
Well, we're constantly faced with struggles to find funding for care, and in particular in Lee County, Florida. Florida is 50th in the nation in per capita funding of mental health services, so we already have a struggle within the state of Florida. When people move here from northern states, they come here with an expectation based upon the level of care and the types of care that they found available to them in those northern states. They come to Florida, and we don't have those what I would say less restrictive levels of care because all of the funding is for the deep end services. Our hope is that there will be a future with the Accountable Care Act that we're going to see more of those funds spread equally across the nation. Secondly, within Lee County itself, we find ourselves at one of the lowest levels of reimbursement for DCF funding. So it's sort of a double whammy for the folks in Lee County. Because the population here grew substantially over the past 10 years during a period when there were no additional funds essentially provided for mental health services.
So that's left a huge gap then. What are some of the ways that your organization has, I guess, gotten creative with funding, trying to really meet that capacity that's just, as you said, all the people were moving down here and the networks didn't exist to really help them?
Well, number one, for psychiatrists in the past, we used to schedule appointments 3 months out, 4 months out, had a significant no-show rate as a result of scheduling so far out. So we've tried to squeeze down those time frames. Our goal is to be able to provide an appointment within 3 days. We're not always able to do that, but we found that by providing you know, call in, make an appointment. There's a higher likelihood that people will show up. That means our psychiatrists are being used more effectively. You know, when you have a no-show, that means somebody is sitting around looking for something to do.
Effectively getting paid but not treating anyone. Gotcha.
Yes, and that's the other reason for the walk-ins, that, you know, we allow walk-ins to come in. That, in turn, allows us to take that no-show appointment and fill it with somebody and assure services are provided. You talked about the growth in the level of care. We've gone from serving about 6,500 people a year last year to now serving almost 12,000 individuals a year.
Wow. And Kevin, tell us a bit about SWAFAs. Have you seen those kind of increases as well?
Not seen those increases in terms of numbers served. Not nearly as dramatic as what the center has accomplished at Lee Mental Health. What we have seen is we've continued to work and basically utilize less our more intensive, more expensive levels of care and try to move people towards an outpatient model. About 90% of the people that do receive services for substance use disorders receive it on an outpatient basis. And I believe that the state's been real clear in their messages that they want us to make sure we strive to exceed that goal, to try to treat people in the community. So instead of putting a person, say, in an adolescent in a four-month residential program, you may be putting them in a 2 to 3 month program and then providing more in-home services to help that transition, which frankly is a good idea.
Is there anything else about this merger that you think folks in Southwest Florida should know, just in terms of how it's going to impact quality of care for patients here?
Well, we certainly anticipate that the ability to collaborate and coordinate care should positively impact quality. We'll be challenged, both systems will be challenged as we do this, to kind of pick our best practices and also to pick better practices from other systems as we create this new model. This is not, you know, we didn't see this as simply cobbling together two existing systems and maintaining a status quo, but it's really an opportunity to say, okay, what's the best we can do to serve Lee County in these arenas?
And you know, we heard the announcement just recently, just in late November, that this was going to be happening. But again, you had mentioned, you know, that they've been talking about this. You guys have been talking about this for some time. Why did you decide now was the time to go public with these plans? Just because we could have something in January, perhaps?
Both boards had ratified a business plan that the committee had worked on. And once both full boards of directors ratified that business plan, we felt it was important to communicate to the greater community as to what was happening. We think it's a great opportunity now for us to get the kind of feedback from the community to incorporate that in our planning, frankly.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That is unfortunately all the time we have for today's program, but we do look forward to watching how this merger comes together in the future to really help folks here in Southwest Florida. Thanks to my guests, Southwest Florida Addiction Services CEO Kevin Lewis and Lee Mental Health Center CEO David Winters. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
And there's more information on today's show, as well as an archive of past shows at our website, wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. To comment on anything you've heard on this or any edition of the program, send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Or you can continue the conversation on our statewide blog at wgcu.org/Florida Talks. Thanks to my producers Richard Chinqui and Luke Martin. This is WGCU, Fort Myers, Naples, Sarasota, 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.